think the most surreal moment for me was right after I did get hurt, and I was really flustered by that moment, walking into the arena and looking around and seeing more American flags than Chinese flags, and just having this, you know, full circle moment of, wow, this is my dream. I need to live it up. I need to, you know, not throw myself a pity party, and we need to get the job done any way that we can. So that to me was the most surreal moment, because it was like, you know, my dream 11 years later finally came true. The head coach, Marta Coley, asked me, she goes, can you make your bar team? I'm like, yeah, I got it. She's like, no, really, I need you to go first, set the tone for the entire team, and hit your bar team. And her and I go way back, and she knows that, I think she knows that I'm pretty mentally tough and that I can handle comments like that. And I would rather her be very direct and straight and tell me that she needs me to hit the bar routine, because I'll hit it. So I told her, I'm like, you know, I got it. I'll make this bar routine. But I was a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
You watched them. You cheered for them. Maybe you booed them. You listened to them. You were impressed by them. Today, they share their favorite memories with you. It's the Give Me a Sense podcast. Here's your host, Mike Yam.
Well, we're in the throes of things for the Olympics, and I actually had an opportunity. Look, I mean, we're taping this show well in advance of the Olympics, but she is one of the stars that we have at the Pac-12 Network. I can call her a friend and colleague. She's been on a numerous amount of our shows. And why she's the perfect fit for an Olympic show is because she's actually been a part of these games. Silver medalist back in 2008 on the Olympics team. She's a 17-time All-American, a national champion at UCLA. That's just a heck of a resume. Samantha Peschek is with us on the show. Samantha, it is great to have you.
Thank you for having me on the show. It's, like you said, it's fun to work with you at Pac-12 and to do other projects like this. So I'm excited.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, as I made reference to, you are actually, when this show is airing, you will even be in the country. You'll be down in Rio. You're going to be working for NBC. But I thought it was important to plan ahead, which is unlike normally what I do for everything else in my life, and have an idea, because, look, the Olympics are, that's like the, these are the iconic athletic endeavors that basically everyone in the world is watching. And you got to be, had an opportunity to be a part of those games back in 2008. Before I even talk to you about the Olympics, take me through a lot of the things that we were not aware of when it comes to competing and getting to this stage, because the hours of preparation, the hours of practice, the sacrifice that goes into it. I mean, I can't imagine the amount of hours of sleep that you've lost, friends and family events that you couldn't attend just because you had to be seriously focused on gymnastics.
Yeah, I actually think that's a really big misconception with the games, or at least with my experience. I'm not sure if it was the same with other sports, but I know for gymnastics, you know, you're training so many hours. I was only in high school, going into my, just finishing up my sophomore year of high school. And I was on this whirlwind of trying to accomplish my goal of going to the Olympics, and we had competition after competition. I was training two-a-days in the summer, over 30 hours of practice a week for the past few years, and all I wanted was to go to the games. And when I finally got named to the team, you know, it was back to work. We had, I think, had a few days back at home, and went to the training camp, and then went to San Jose to get apparel, and then flew to Beijing and had another 2 weeks of two-a-day practice before the games even started. So as cool as the Olympics is, and of course is like was my dream, it didn't really seem like it was that cool or that big of a deal when we were there, because we were just so robotic and so routine. It wasn't until we got back from the Olympics that I really understood how special it was and what an honor it was to compete for Team USA.
So when you get that swag, like when I watch the games and I see athletes from this country that are able to rock that red, white, and blue, like I think about what it would be like to broadcast. I mean, one of our colleagues, JB Long, is fortunate enough and he's talented enough to be able to work for NBC to call some of those events. And it's a thrill. I mean, that's on my bucket list, to be a part of that coverage. I'm not competing, but just to be a part of something like that, that's got to be such an incredible feeling for you now as you look back at that experience.
Definitely. I'm 24 now, and my first memory of an Olympic Games was when I was 5 years old. I watched the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta, Georgia, and the USA team won gold. If you remember, if anyone listening probably remembers, but I got chills. I remember watching when I was five, and that was when I decided I wanted to go to the Olympics and to still have pushed through and made the Olympic Games, and to now, you know, continue being a fan and to continue supporting Team USA. I know I'm a little biased, but best country in the world. And there's nothing like knowing you have so much support back at home as well.
By the time the show is airing, I would think that opening ceremonies is probably a day or two old at this point. So all of us would have been at that point, have been able to watch that opening ceremonies. Do you remember your time walking in?
We actually weren't allowed to go to opening ceremonies, so we watched it on TV.
Wow.
The following day or 2 days after was our first day of competition. Gymnastics is always one of the first events. And walking in the opening ceremonies, I guess it's kind of quite a trek. And you're standing in the heat with so many people around, and we're so young. I know that they, at least gymnastics, tries to keep the distractions at a minimum and try to minimize just how big it is, because I think a lot of people can do the deer in headlights look, especially since we're a little bit younger than some of the other competitors. So I think there's a rhyme and reason for all of that. So we watched it on TV, and we actually went to bed before it even ended. But it was still really cool to watch on TV, and I hope that one day I can do it in person.
What's that dynamic like when you have your teammates? You got, like, I have no idea. You're in the Olympic Village, I'm assuming, because I've heard some athletes don't stay in the village. Okay, so you're in the Olympic Village. Do you have roommates? Does everyone get their own room? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, in my experience, it was like a three-bedroom apartment thing, a three-bedroom dorm, I want to say, and then there was two of us per room, and we had like one little community of like a, not a kitchen, but like a communal table or whatever, and then our coaches were in the room next door, so it was kind of like a very white with just a bed and all of our stuff, and we were lucky enough. I think that's another big misconception about gymnastics. It kind of gets the reputation of being an individual sport, but, you know, we travel once a month on the national team to do national team training camps, and we become really good friends and like sisters. So it's actually a really cool thing. You just get to have a sleepover with all of your best friends accomplishing your dream together. So it's that aspect adds a different dynamic and a really, really awesome dynamic as well.
Do you guys, like, decorate, even though you're there in a short period of time? Does, like, anyone, like, hang some posters up or something to color up the dorm, so to speak?
I don't think we did, to be honest.
You went white walls the whole time. Wow.
Yeah, I'm like, thinking back, and I know we just had clothes and stuff everywhere because we were traveling for so long. You never know what you're going to need. USA Gymnastics gives you a lot of apparel. USA Team USA gives you a lot of apparel. So we had like two huge bags just full of stuff. And yeah, I just remember we had lots of clothing and leotards everywhere.
Who were your, you said three to essentially like kind of a dorm style room. Who were your roommates?
Yeah. There were six of us on a team. So we all were in, I guess, one dorm, if you will, and there were three bedrooms in each. And my roommate in my room was Alicia Sacramone.
Yeah. Now you guys seem like you guys are all close, and you guys are traveling. Is there a competitiveness between you guys, though? I mean, because once you get to the Olympic Games, because you're right, I think in a lot of ways people think about it as an individual sport, but if you follow it, you understand there's the team aspect as well. How do you flip the switch to go from competitor to like high five and teammate?
I think it's just something innate and something that you learn growing up through the sport, because people always ask me that, and I'm like, you're right. I'm probably one of the most competitive people you will ever meet, ever. And I never once, I think, you know, when the competition was over, I'm competitive in the sense that I want to do my best in my job. And so if I'm frustrated or disappointed, it's because I didn't do my job, not because I couldn't beat anyone else, or not because someone else didn't make a mistake, if that makes sense. I'm competitive with myself, and I always want to do my best. And of course, you want to win, or you want to do the best, be the best on the team, but it doesn't always work out that way. And all you can do is work hard and do your best at that time.
Samantha, what's the village like? I want to ask you about the competitions, but fast forward, because I think I would assume that when you guys are still competing, your behaviors and what you're doing and the fact that the coaches are right next door, you're not out and about. But yet, you know, when I talk to Jeremy Bloom, like, I get a different sense of when the games are over, you know, people kind of cut loose. It's almost like being, and you just went through this experience at UCLA, but I think back to Fordham, where I finished my finals on the second day of finals my senior year. So I had like 2 weeks of like extra partying basically to go and hang out while everyone else was sort of still studying. And I would think, look, competition's done, you're finished. What happens after in the village? Does everyone kind of get after it a little bit?
Well, we actually had to go home before the Olympics were over.
Okay, your Olympic experience is not cool, by the way. I just want to let you know that no opening ceremonies and you guys are done, you're home.
I know. Well, I was also 16 at the time, and I know we were kept on a very short leash. And thinking back when I was there, I just wanted to get home back to the United States. It had been such a long journey in a foreign country. You know, my parents all made the journey. I had a lot of family members go, which was awesome. But I just kind of wanted to sleep in my own bed and do all of that. And so they actually, because USA has so many people make the Olympic Games, you have to leave the village after your event because they need to make room for other people coming for their event. That's why we had to leave. We would, you know, interact a little bit with other athletes in the training room. I know that we're just supposed to be very focused and disciplined and not really, you know, socialize too much. But we did meet some really cool athletes. I remember, I think I took an ice bath with Brian Lochte, and he sang me like the entire CD of Lil Wayne, every lyric and all. And I thought that was a very interesting, fun fact about him at the time. little things like that, and seeing people in passing, and hanging out with Kobe Bryant and the rest of the basketball team. I think I met more Olympic athletes at the Oprah show when we were back in the States, because everyone just had a completely different demeanor and was a little bit more relaxed. I mean, a lot more relaxed and comfortable and wanting to socialize. You know, you walk by people in the village and everyone just has this bulletproof vision, and you can tell everyone's trying to do their best and focus and not really try to meet people until the games are over.
Sim, is that, you know, I would use the term fraternity because that's, you know, but it's mostly guys, but just like the fact that you represented this country, the fact that you're an Olympian, the fact that you won a medal, and you're able to interact with other athletes that were, you know, essentially the peak of, you know, peak performance that are out there that are also able to compete. Like, what are those relationships like, even if it's not your sport? You mentioned Kobe, you mentioned Ryan. I mean, those are different sports, but high-end athletes that you have this common ground with.
Yeah, I mean, athletes that I knew of, I definitely got a little bit starstruck. I'm extremely, extremely embarrassed to say that I didn't follow basketball at all. I didn't follow that many other sports until after the Olympics. And after meeting all these athletes is why I got interested in other sports before going to college. Just a little background there. But I remember I was, you know, walking and kind of crossing paths with Kobe Bryant. And he said something to me like, oh, where are you going? And I got really sassy with him because I'm like, who is this guy asking me where I'm going? Like, he knew we were part of the same, like, Oprah group. And so I got really sassy with him. And everyone just, it was like a hush. And I was, like, looking around. I'm like, uh-oh, like, who did I just sass? And he ended up laughing it off and loving it and telling me his daughters did gymnastics and wanted me to train them. And it was just this really funny back and forth. But I pulled aside, and everyone was like, I can't believe you didn't know who that was. And so I was pretty embarrassed. But I think, because of that, he's so used to, you know, athletes are so used to people bowing down to them a lot of times. It's just comfortable to hang out with them and talk to them and be funny like you would with anybody else.
What, have you kept in touch with the Mamba? Like, did that relationship continue post-games?
No, well, it was even before I knew I was going to UCLA. And so I think I totally would have been like, you know, in 2 years when I go to UCLA, here's my number. I'll come and train your daughter. But no, I mean, I hadn't even decided where I was. I hadn't even started looking for colleges at that point. So we lost touch a little bit. But I would hope to want to reconnect with him and just see how life is
Yeah, he's got some
post-retirement.
downtime now. It's, it's not like he's getting ready for another season. Okay, so take me back to the competitions themselves, because you actually had to deal with an injury, right? It was an ankle injury, if I'm not mistaken. So the mental state that you have, knowing that you've trained, you've sacrificed, you were good enough, talented enough to get to this point, and then you suffer an injury. What happens then?
Well, it was really a battle for 2 weeks leading up to the games. It wasn't really talked about, but I actually tore my meniscus after I was named to the team at a training camp in Texas before we even left. And my knee was swollen, and they kind of gave me the opportunity to fight through it or, you know, bring in the alternate and go home. And I said, hell no. And I was like, I'm fine, I'm fine. And so right when we touched down in China, I hadn't done any gymnastics really or any pounding on my knee for 2 weeks, or a week and a half or something like that. And I had to be completely back to normal. So there was a whole stressor of, you know, if I'm not good enough and I'm not up to the level that I was when they picked me for the team, they're going to bring in an alternate. So that whole stress of the games was my biggest concern and my biggest worry, I guess, being there. And then I was back to normal. I felt great. I was ready. And then 30 seconds before the competition, I hurt my ankle pretty bad. And it was a huge disappointment, but I think I turned the corner pretty quickly. I knew that, you know, it was my duty to be the best teammate that I could be in whatever way possible. And whether that's a teammate or a competitor or, you know, a cheerleader, I needed to jump in whatever role to help my teammates be the best that they could be that day, since I couldn't do my part on the competition floor. I was fortunate enough to do bars, so that was the exciting part for me.
Now, I know, because you're essentially restricted to just that, to just the bars, correct? Because you physically couldn't do the. So what was your, like, what was your go-to in the Olympic Games? Like, what's the mental approach going, okay, I think I have a chance to win a medal in this event. What would it be?
Definitely beam. So
You actually
that was a
won
huge
beam
bummer for me.
in the worlds, correct?
I won beam at NCAA championships my freshman
That's right.
year and
Okay.
my 5th year. Yeah.
Boy. Okay. So how does, I mean, is that like, that's got to be devastating, no?
Yeah, it was. I mean, my strongest events were probably vault, floor, and beam, and I could only do bars. But I think my role on the team was more of the rock. You know, I didn't have the most amount of difficulty on bars, but I always hit my routine. And that's one thing the head coach, Marta Crowley, asked me. She goes, "Can you make your bar routine?" Like, yeah, I got it. She's like, "No, really, I need you to go first, set the tone for the entire team, and hit your bar routine." And her and I go way back, and she knows that I think she knows that I'm pretty mentally tough and that I can handle comments like that. And I would rather her be very direct and straight and tell me that she needs me to hit the bar routine, because I'll hit it. So I told her, I'm like, you know, I got it. I'll make this bar routine. But I was a little bit nervous.
Yeah. Is there anything that you don't think you can do in that setting? I mean, at that point, because I know you as a confident person, you're painting a picture that way as well, knowing that you're hurt. Hey, you know, I'm gonna nail it. It's all right, no big deal. Is there a time though when you're in competition where you just say, hey, there's literally nothing I can't do when it comes to gymnastics?
Well, that's a weird question for gymnastics, because you go in with set routines. So it's not like I would ever go in and be like, oh, I'm gonna chuck a skill that I've never ever done before. So that wouldn't really happen in gymnastics, but
But Sam,
in
it's
that
like
sort
any
of
other
setting.
athlete, right? I mean, any other athlete who's doing their particular sport, like, and I guess what I'm trying to get at is the mental approach, because we've had other athletes on the show, and they think and they tell me these stories, and I'm the thing that captures me is the fact that they always seem so confident. Like, there's not this doubt that ever creeps in that they're not going to be able to win or perform at this highest level. And it sounds like to me, even though you're dealing with an injury and you're in the Olympics and it's the biggest stage in the world, you still, I got it. And it's very calm.
Yeah.
And to me, that's fascinating.
Right. Right. That's true. And I think it's just because you've trained for that, you know, you've envisioned it, you have, you know, dreamt about moments like this. There's nothing that can stand in your way. You know, years and years and years of training, there's literally nothing that can stand in your way from doing your job. And we were coming off our team. It was basically the same team as the world championship team a year before. And we came off of a win in Germany. So we were going in assuming that we were going to win. And, you know, if you go into any competition and think otherwise, then you're in trouble, really. But I think it was a little bit of an emotional roller coaster when we won the silver medal because, you know, we were really proud and excited to be standing on the podium and even to be representing our country. But at the same time, you know, we wanted the gold.
Is there anything that stands out in that experience? I mean, I'm sure the entire journey was absolutely fantastic, but is there a moment of those Olympic Games, if someone says to you, hey Sam, what's your favorite thing that happened there? Like, what's your response to that?
I think the most surreal moment, I don't know if this is going to answer your question, but the most surreal moment was when I was 5 years old and I watched The Magnificent Seven, they had a VHS tape of that whole experience, and I would watch it over and over. And there was one part in the movie where the girls walked out to the arena, and it was in Atlanta, Georgia, and the whole crowd was chanting USA, USA with the flags, American flags everywhere. And, you know, every time I would watch that, you know, I had dreams about one day that being me. And of course, you know, making it to the Olympics is great, but it was in China. So it wasn't going to be the exact same. And I think the most surreal moment for me was right after I did get hurt, and I was really flustered by that moment, walking into the arena and looking around and seeing more American flags than Chinese flags, and just having this, you know, full circle moment of, wow, this is my dream. I need to live it up. I need to, you know, not throw myself a pity party, and we need to get the job done any way that we can. So that to me was the most surreal moment, because it was like, you know, my dream 11 years later finally came true.
Wow. That's amazing. Do you still have those thoughts when you see American flags?
Not like I used to. You know, even up in college, whenever I would see an American flag or we'd do the national anthem at competitions, there'd be, you know, a lot of flashbacks of really cool moments. But I think now that I'm retired, it's just a different mindset. And obviously, conversations like this bring me back and give me chills. And I love to talk about all the amazing memories 21 years of gymnastics has given me. But and I'm sure I'll feel the same way when I go to Rio and I'm in that setting when there's so many people, you know, gunning for their country.
Do you, so you mentioned, you just said 21 years, and
yes,
you're still around the sport, right? Because, I mean, you're one of our colleagues, you work,
yes,
at the Pac-12 Network, you're covering gymnastics, you're still around everything that's happening, at least at the collegiate games, and obviously now that you're working for NBC, and you're down in Rio when this is airing, do you miss it at all? Do you miss competing, that competition?
I do. I miss the competitions, and I miss that feeling of, you know, hitting the perfect routine. But I always tell people I was very fortunate in the sport to experience it at literally every single level, you know, the little kid fun level, you know, the JO level, the elite level when it starts to get serious, national team, the Olympics, world championships, and then competing in NCAA, which is almost a completely different sport in its own. And so to have experienced all those facets of gymnastics, I've kind of, you know, left the sport on a peaceful note, and I'm excited to enjoy it from the outside and enjoy other people's fight now.
Sam, before I let you get going here, when you watch the Olympics and you're with other people, do you watch it? Do you notice that they're watching you watch the Olympics?
Because
I feel like that's almost like a different, you know, it's like a different experience, right? Like, I feel like when I get, and I'll make it my world, which is so not even in the same stratosphere. But sometimes if I'm around people and I'm watching or critiquing a tape of a broadcast to like give notes to a student, for example, like I've noticed that people will watch me watching it and like look at and try to figure out like what observations I'm trying to make, or at least that I'm making. And I'm wondering, because if I'm, even when I'm at the Pac-12 Network and I'm with professional former football coaches and players, or basketball players and coaches, like when we're watching games, sometimes I find myself watching them because it's kind of a cool, because I feel like they're watching it so much differently than I am.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yes, that does happen. There's only been one Olympics since mine, and I was actually working that Olympics, so I wasn't really with people that I could study it and take time to watch it. But at gymnastics events, for example, you know, all the way throughout the year, even if I'm not commentating, if I'm just there as a spectator, I can see, you know, people watching me or asking me certain questions, you know, was that good? What does she need to do differently? And so that's kind of a cool thing, and something that I like to give back to people, because they really just want to learn more and be interested in the sport, just like I was, you know, how many years ago. So it's a cool, easy thing that I can do to help evolve and grow sports in general.
Yeah, and it's cool too, because your expertise is gymnastics. And I think I always say this, that my favorite event in any Olympics is always women's gymnastics, because what you guys are able to accomplish is, I'm dead serious, I think it is I'm glued to the television watching those games. I think it is absolutely amazing, and just how athletic you guys are to be able to do what you do. I can't even imagine walking across a balance beam, not alone like jumping and flipping and turning. It's crazy to me to see it. And obviously we have an opportunity to see some of the best gymnasts in the world in the Pac-12 conference. And I found myself watching a lot of different events, just some great performances as well. It's truly special. And Sam, we really appreciate you stopping by the show. I know, once again, we're taping ahead of time, but I know you're in Rio. So I will wish you right now a great time in Rio covering
Thank
the Olympic
you.
Games.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's going to be, I think, an exciting an Olympics for, I mean, all of USA in general, but for the gymnastics, everyone's going to want to tune in, because I think it's going to be a year that sets records for sure.
Well, I know I'm not going to miss a second of the gymnastics once the Olympic Games kick up. Really appreciate Samantha stopping by and sharing some of her experiences of the Olympic Games. Obviously, it's been a ton of fun to watch a lot of the stuff that's been happening in Rio. Next week, we're going to get back onto the football conversation. Rich Rodriguez, the head coach of Arizona football, is going to be stopping by with us. I said this last week at the end of the show with Jeremy Bloom, but Coach Rodriguez is probably the best storyteller of any coach that I've ever had the opportunity to interview. So I'm interested to get his take on what happens away from football, sort of a get to know Rich Rod episode. That's coming up next week on the Give Me a Sense podcast. Don't forget to continue to rate, review, and subscribe. It only takes just a couple seconds. At the end of the day, just hit that 5-star if you've been enjoying the show, and make sure you tell your friends about it. Thanks as always for listening and downloading.